Thank you, Roger. Well, I too would like to welcome you here in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and especially for those that might be watching on live streaming. I'm not going to give you anything new, but I want to test your memories with a little review. I want to do it a little differently than I have in the past, so. When our Lord created this world and placed us on this sphere, placed us in the Garden of Eden, and then the first sin occurred, man being tempted by Satan. And I think that was the first instance that the gospel was given to man. I see some blank looks. Okay. I say that because what did Satan say to Eve? Said, if you will eat of the fruit, you'll be like us. You'll know good and evil. Isn't that the gospel? Think about it. Good on the right hand, evil on the left. What else is there? Everything fits in those two categories. And man was exposed to it from the very beginning. And he didn't do very well. Placed out of the Garden of Eden, he continued to get into trouble. They went through a time and God repented and almost decided to call the whole thing off. And Noah convinced him otherwise, and they were able to save a few people and, I'll use the term, start over. So then did they, knowing good and from evil, and they had God at that time to talk to them directly. He wasn't using prophets or scripture. Man didn't do very well. And it leads us to a scripture which I want to read. I've read it before. I suppose you could say it's one of my favorites. But it kind of sums up the situation of the world at the time. And strangely enough, it sums up the situation of the world today. It's in Genesis 11. It's verses 5 and 6. And you'll remember this story. The Lord said, "Let us go down and see what man is up to." So they came down to what was known as the world at that time, which was Central Asia. The Lord came down to see the city and a tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold." He must have really been discouraged. He said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. This they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." And doesn't that sort of sum up the world today? The languages haven't exactly come back together, but we communicate universally around the world. We have the same societies and social networks. And we have science at work. And it seems like everything is working against that God created. And that's true. He says nothing will be from restrained from them which they have imagined to do. And things have sort of gone from bad to worse since that day. God strove with man directly, but it didn't work. So he used prophets. Eventually, during the time of the formation of Israel, he made his covenant with Abraham. That still didn't really work. And then he talked to Moses. And after 400 years of bondage and slavery, he agreed to free Israel from the Egyptians. They went to the promised land, and that didn't work. He gave Israel the old law. And I suppose if you wanted to focus on what I want to talk about this morning, it's really the comparison of the old law with, I'll call it, the new law, the law of Christ. They summed it up by saying that the law given to the Israelites was the law of commandments, the law given by Christ was by faith. There's quite a difference. Under the law of the commandments, it was all written down. You had a 1, 2, 3 steps. You knew which way to go. That is, unless you twisted it a little and deviated, which they did a lot. But under the law of faith, it's up to us to make that judgment. And we're back, really, to where they were when they were in the Garden of Eden. We know right and wrong, and we base everything on faith. And there's nothing that we can't imagine. And that creates a lot of dilemmas. It's interesting that during the time that Israel was coming out of the period following Solomon, they had broken up into the two great tribes, that God saw fit to transplant man to the new world. And with the new world, we had the record that we now call the Book of Mormon. And in that record, based on the plates from Laban, which Lehi brought over here, they had the gospel according to Christ. And unlike the Jews in the Middle East, the Nephites and some of the Lamanites in this country accepted that law. But remember, they told Samuel, the prophet, you keep the law of Moses, though, until Christ comes. But yet they believed in Christ, and they believed he was coming, and they believed that there would be a difference under the law of faith and under the law of commandments. Israel never accepted that in their homeland. They were dispersed, and we went into the period, the Dark Ages, later on, the Great Dispersal during World War II, and almost an annihilation of Israel. But yet, we have the two records. The one which came to the Nephites, we call it the Book of Mormon. The old record, which was preserved and came from old, we call it the Bible. And strangely enough, the records agree. And the records teach the same thing. But there are those that will tell you that the the law that was given to Israel through Moses was different. Well, there were different consequences because Christ hadn't come, there was no resurrection, and the judgments that you received for your acts, you received then. You committed a sin, in the most part, you lost your life, you were stoned. That was your judgment. That was the end for that period of time. Not so under the law of faith. But I want to do a little comparison, a little looking, just to compare and see what was really said there. Let me see here. I want to go to 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter. Let's look at verses 27 through 32. Now, this was the law in your Book of Mormon. At the top of your page is labeled the Doctrine of Christ. But this was given some 559 years before the birth of Christ. This was while Israel was struggling in the Middle East with the old law and not doing a very good job of it. The Nephites and the Lamanites received this. And this primarily came because of Lehi and Nephi and their visions. And I trust most of you know that story if you've read the Book of Mormon. And now, my beloved brethren, after that you have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask of all if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come thus far, save it were by the words of Christ, with unshaken faith, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, then saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. Now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is no other way, nor no name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ. And note those three words, doctrine of Christ, given some 500 BC. And of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. And then if I just move down on into chapter 14, I want to read to you verse 7. It's on page 164. It says, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after that he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And we know that, of course, that came later in 3 Nephi. And I'll read that reference when he returns and finishes his doctrine. And I think maybe you'll find that interesting. Some of you may have already read that. want to go back to, let me see. Let's go to Galatians. And the third chapter. Let's look at Galatians, third chapter. I'll start at verse 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? And here Paul is speaking to the Galatians about the law that was given to Israel through Moses. God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. And I know that you've all heard that term, and it's been read to you before. To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Noting then that one was the schoolmaster, but wasn't, I'll say, complete until Christ came, are they the same? And that has been debated and talked about, I'm sure, by many over the years. And that's the comparison that I want to take a look at this morning. One more scripture in the Bible. Let me see. Let's go to Hebrews. And I think it's in chapter 7. Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews here, writes in chapter 7, and I'm going to pick at verse 12 for this single verse. It says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And one of the changes that I've already mentioned is the fact that we do not have an instant judgment and consequence to sin today like they did in Israel, but they did change the priesthood, where Christ was the last high priest. If you read chapters 5, 6, and 7 there in Hebrews, it explains that. Christ was the last high priest. There is no longer a high priest. That office no longer exists because he fulfilled it. He also made the statement that he came to fulfill the law. Fulfill doesn't mean do away with, but it does mean to finalize. Like a jar, we put a cap on it, we seal it, we make it complete. That's what he did. He fulfilled that law. And so then I want to compare that with some things that we already know. Let us go back to the Book of Mormon now. I want to go to 3rd Nephi. And the 5th chapter, I believe. Yep. On page 634 of the Book of Mormon, this is chapter 5, 3rd Nephi, and I'm going to start at verse 32 and just read through 34. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, and this is Christ speaking, I will declare unto you my doctrine. Now remember we read back in 2nd Nephi, he said there would be no more doctrine until he came. Now we're in 3rd Nephi, he's here. Let's see what he says about his doctrine. And this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. The doctrine of faith. And whosoever believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then, as is customary in the Book of Mormon, it always tells you what it's going to tell you, then it tells it to you, and then it rehearses what it's already told you. And he continues to do that here for several pages and explains line for line. This is his doctrine, the doctrine of faith, which, if you compare it to 2nd Nephi, there is no addition, there is no change, it is the same. From that I come to the conclusion that even from the creation of the world, when Adam and Eve first understood right and wrong, they didn't know it. They had the doctrine. And later, I'm going to propose to you that when Israel received the old law, they received the doctrine of Christ. I hope to prove that to you in a little bit. And then the Lamanites and the Nephites received it in 2nd Nephi. And then when Christ came again and recorded it in 3rd Nephi, here in the Book of Mormon, he reiterated what his doctrine was, and it was the same. We say, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So is his doctrine. So is the law of mortality. So it has always been and always will be. Now let's take a little deeper look at it, and I found this kind of fun. I want to go to Leviticus. Yeah, let's see, where we start? There aren't many people that read the book of Leviticus just for the fun of it. You got to be looking for something or studying something because it is the old law. It is the commandments that were given. And they're written down there one after another. And it's not exactly fun reading, but it's got some interesting stuff in it. I'll start with verse 1 of chapter 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and unto his sons, and to all the children of Israel, and say unto them, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. And then he starts listing the commandments. Now I'm going to not read all of them to you. I'm going to let you do that. Let you read Leviticus for fun. But I want to pick out a few verses. In 7, verse 7 of that chapter. And they shall no more offer sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And that was taught in the New Testament. No idols. You don't sacrifice to them before or after. Let's move over into chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. And then he goes on and expounds for several pages. He's talking about incest, adultery, and fornication here. He taught that in the New Testament. They had a terrible problem with it, apparently, because he really bore down on it pretty hard. And then I thought of Paul and his admonitions to the Corinthians. They had the same problem. Verse 21 of chapter 18. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of the God. I am the Lord. That was the practice of then, of the human sacrifice, offering their children through the fire to the devil Molech. Christ spoke about that in the New Testament. Verse 3 of chapter 19. You shall hear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Honor thy father and thy mother. And then in verse 4 he says, turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourself molten gods. I am the Lord your God. And he rehearses that one. He thought he better remind them again. And then in verse 5, and if you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, you shall offer it at your own will. Your own free will and offerings. That was taught in the New Testament. Verse 11 of chapter 19. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. Right out of the doctrine of Christ. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. They had the Ten Commandments as the basis for the Old Law. And Christ quoted the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. Several times, in fact. In 14, we think we're real big on socialization and social works today. It says in verse 14, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God, I am the Lord. Take care of the old and the infirm. Verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among my people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Paul wrote about that to several at Corinth and some of the other places that he traveled through. You will be interested in verse 28 of chapter 19. This is only one of two places in the Bible where it makes reference to this particular thing. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Tattoos. Verse 30, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Verse 35, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meter, in weight, or in measure. In other words, in commerce, don't cheat. In 36, just balances, just weights, a just epa, and a just hin shall you have. I am your Lord, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. And I'll leave the rest of Leviticus to you. I subscribe to you that Israel, when they received the law through Moses, received the doctrine of Christ. They didn't know it. Yet when it was presented to the Lamanites and the Nephites in this country, they accepted it. Though they kept the law of Moses, as Samuel the prophet told them to, they also believed in Jesus and that he was coming, which he did in 3 Nephi, and I read that to you. The doctrine of Christ, the basic doctrine of God, of morality, always has been there in every law given. It hasn't changed. It's been worded a little differently. Some of the consequences have changed a little. The commandments have not. And they should be innate to our being and our mind, because after all, we should know the difference between right and wrong. And that is the doctrine of Christ. I found the verses from Leviticus very interesting, and I suppose there might even be some more surprises in there. Somebody wanted to look through and compare them with the Sermon on the Mount. But that'll be enough for this morning and get my point across. Let me see here. By the way, it's interesting that these things that are recorded in Leviticus here that are also in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Book of Mormon and 3 Nephi are in chapter 5 and 6, and in the Bible and Matthew, they're also in 5 and 6. Let us go back to the Book of Mormon for my closing scripture. I suppose this is one of my favorites. It's in, 3 Nephi, I think it's 581. If I'd get in the right book, I'd be better off. Page 681. This is 3 Nephi, chapter 14. It's familiar to all of you. It's only three verses. I think this is our commission in taking the doctrine of Christ to the world, to our neighbors, to those around us, but also a warning to the Gentiles as a whole. It's chapter 14, just three verses. Hearken, O you Gentiles, and hear the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, which he hath commanded me that I should speak concerning you, for behold, he commandeth me that I should write, saying, turn, all you Gentiles, from your wicked ways, and repent of your evil doings, your lyings, deceivings, your whoredoms, your secret abominations, your idolatries and your murders, and your priestcrafts and your envyings and your strifes, from all wickedness and abomination. Come unto me, be baptized in my name, that you may receive a remission of your sins, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that you may be numbered with my people, which are of the house of Israel. I hope that this morning I've given you some insight into the linkage between the Bible and the Book of Mormon, that the doctrine of Christ is throughout both books and for all time, from beginning to end, and that God truly is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God bless you.